Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome to The Dime Package. I'm your host, Fran, joined by Casey Smith. I know we're a day late. We're going to recap the games.
I'll take full credit.
We've let it settle.
It still hasn't settled, though. That's
no,
the thing.
I know.
It's like even having the extra day, shout out the weather in Texas.
Yeah.
And you know what, Fran? I'm not going to say all my thoughts about the state of Texas right now. We don't have time for that. But when I knew that I got to stay to watch the games, you know, if you listen to last week's episode, you know, yeah. One of my best friends got married, and my original worry was that I wasn't going to get to watch Tom Brady. Southwest did have live TV, so I just totally threw them under the bus for no reason.
Yeah.
I would have definitely been able to watch it. But with some family stuff mixed in, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll watch the games. I'll handle this family stuff. I'll get up super early Monday morning and be back into the studio by the time we record. Well, Mother Nature fucked me.
Yeah.
Pouring rain.
Rain. Can't
leave. Get home.
And I just feel like Monday flight travel is always the worst. Always.
Always. And I told you this before we started recording. You never think it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be. For all of time I've traveled on Monday mornings, it's never good.
Yeah.
But in that moment on Sunday, I was so happy.
Well, because the option is leaving on Sunday, and that's just not an option.
Not when,
you know,
after watching.
You're like, oh, I just got to, do you think maybe this Monday it'll be different?
This Monday will be different, and not only that, because, and so happy for my friend Casey, congratulations, you look beautiful. Not being able to fully watch both of those games on Saturday was so overwhelmingly upsetting in the back of my head. Now, she never knew, and like have you been a maid of honor before?
I have not, no.
This was my first time.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Again, super happy to have that honor. And
yes.
But all you do all day is put out little fires to make sure that the bride and the bride's mom doesn't know. That's all I did. So if you think I was sitting my ass watching Joe Burrow, I wasn't. I was watching my phone. But I made the decision that I want to watch both of these games. I'm glad I did. But the episode's a day late because of that. So I apologize, everyone.
That's okay. We're going to get into the games. Let's talk about them. Let's discuss. We'll start with Saturday, first of all, let's just say these were some of the best playoff games ever of all time.
I would say that collectively
maybe
the best weekend.
The one of the best divisional rounds, if not the best divisional round.
And I know everybody is saying that, but when you really look at how these games came down to, every single one came down to the last play, whether it was in regulation or overtime, the dramatics.
You had three underdogs win. Like, I kept looking at these games, and it was just so funny because after the Bengals win, and then I'm like, okay, well, the Bengals won, so like we can't go two underdogs on one day, so the Packers have got to pull it out. And then when the Packers lost on Sunday, I was like, well, this bodes well for the Bucks. Like, we're going to have three underdogs to win.
And your spite pick was on.
Well, it was a good spite pick. That spite pick won me some money. I was very happy about it.
I will say too. I mean, you said you were betting with your heart with the Bengals for a Joe Burrow podcast.
I know.
I mean, that was.
I know. I was just so happy for him. But yeah, well, let's break them down game by game. And that first game, the Bengals Titans game, was insane because on paper there was really like no reason the Bengals should have won that game, right? You looked at it from a defensive standpoint. They sacked Joe Burrow nine times.
Kept him on his ass.
He was getting destroyed. The offensive line looked terrible. Yeah, and you can say, the offensive line looked terrible. The Titans' defensive line looked fantastic. But unfortunately, you know, this came down to Ryan Tannehill throwing interceptions and turnovers and points off turnovers. And it sucks because it's sad because a lot of those turnovers, you know, were, balls that were tipped and they're in the air for a long time and the Bengals came down with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, that is still an interception. And he had three?
Yeah, he had three. Which I believe...
Can't have three.
Definitely cannot have three.
Definitely cannot have three in a playoff game. You just can't.
I mean, that's just... It's bad.
Yeah.
That's just arguably
bad.
I mean,
that's how the game started.
It just,
he threw a pick on the first play.
Yeah, no, it was not good. Well, and like you said, you mentioned it, it's points off of turnovers too. So it wasn't even just he was turning the ball over. The Bengals were capitalizing, you know, although it was just field goals, it was still, they were capitalizing on these mistakes. And in the playoffs, like you said, you can't have three interceptions, but then you also can't, your defense can't then go allow them to get that many points when it's such a low scoring game. Yeah. I mean, the final was 19-16. It's not like it was some shootout back and forth like the Sunday night game was. So
no, this was a defensive battle for sure. And you know, there was a lot of turnovers. There was a lot of great defensive plays. The Titans got back into this game. You know, it was 16-6 at one point. They get a field goal, an interception, a turnover, a touchdown, and it's 16-16. And they're making plays like the defense, the Bengals defense is making plays consistently. The Titans aren't able to move the ball. And then there came that last interception.
Yep. It's almost like you could just script it at that point.
Sealed the deal.
Yeah, like you said, he started it off that way. He ended it that way. And, you know, credit to, and I know every time I'm like, credit to whoever. It's like, All right, credit to everybody. But the one thing with Cincinnati that I think that we, I mean, obviously now they're going to the championship weekend. I mean, they're clearly a very good football team. They're very, very young. But it's just like they, if you look at their entire season, they did everything that they could in all these games to make sure that they were in these situations. Like you said, Joe Burrow getting sacked almost 10 times. They were struggling, but it's like they found a way to win all year. And whether that was capitalizing off of the other team's mistakes or Ja'Marr Chase having 1,000 yards a game, you know, whatever it is, they always found a way. And they're so young, which is why this is so exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, again, the Titans were sitting at home watching the Bengals play in wild card weekend. You know, they had all the cards stacked up against them, and it still didn't matter. They were still able to do it. Whether you want to blame that on the mistakes from Tennessee or you blame it on the fact that the Bengals capitalized, I don't care. One way or the other, they found a way all year, and they did it again in the divisional weekend.
Yeah, and I just want to say, too, like, and when it comes down to a game like that where it does come down to a field goal and you have this kid who has been lights out, it's such a game changer. Like, they very much could have lost that game if they had any of the other kickers that were playing in the playoff. Like, there were mistakes across the board from kickers in every other game.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby, right?
Yep.
Suckup.
Yep.
Gay. Like, there was mistakes all around across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Bills, Chiefs, no, but like,
well, that's a different, it's a whole different universe of a game.
Absolutely. And, well, did Bucker miss one? Or, yes. Right? Yes. So, yes, literally every game there. And you have this.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, right? There definitely was one where, because I think he got a, He got Romo cursed or something. They compared him to Justin Tucker and then he missed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Romo curse. That'll happen.
Yeah, I want to say it was, let's see. Well, they'll.
The broadcaster curse to me while you're looking this up is still so fascinating.
Yeah. Because it was like, at the end of the half.
It's just like Monday morning travel. You know that the broadcaster's curse is going to curse someone.
50-yard field goal, no good. That was to end the half.
But every time you say it, you think it's going to be different.
Yeah, because you thought they were going to go up 17-14, which they did anyway. But this was for the half. Yeah. So you have Evan McPherson.
Damn.
A rookie.
Yeah.
Young kid. And he goes out there. He nails 3 field goals that are extremely important. Like, literally the only way they were scoring points, because they had only scored one touchdown. 3 times 4 is 12. Yes, they scored one touchdown. And
The score 19-16.
Yeah, 19-16 is a gross score. It totally is. But he goes out there, hits every single field goal, and then hits the game winner.
Yeah. I mean, ice cold veins is what he has.
Ice
running through those veins. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Bengals,
it's incredible.
It's the way that they found ways to win all year, down to a rookie kicker in a divisional weekend game against the Titans, who are the number one seed. And like we said, the Titans had plenty of opportunities to win that game. I mean, that you know, Derrick Henry was back. I think he had just shy of, 70 yards, I believe.
Yeah.
I know he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, honestly, Foreman had more rushing yards than him. Because he had that one break, you know, he had that one massive run. Foreman did. He had 20 carries, 62 yards.
It's a lot of carries.
That's a lot
of
carries.
Not a lot of yards.
He averaged 3-ish yards per carry. I mean, so that's massive,
massive
for the Cincinnati defense. Massive.
Well, and when I went, again, I mean, I'm not going to try to sit there and pretend like I was watching it all second by second live, because I wasn't. But when I went back and looked and watched the highlights and kind of like skimmed through the game, that the fact that he was stopped on that huge fourth and one call with like 8 minutes left in the game or whatever, when they could have just kicked a field goal. But they went for it, and you know they did get the ball back after that. But those little tiny things, like Derrick Henry should get a fourth and one. Like,
right.
it's Derrick Henry.
Right.
Like, but because the Bengals were able to step up and stop him in those moments, like, I see so many people talking about how it's the Titans' fault. It's the Titans' fault. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a mixture of both. But that doesn't mean every single time a team messes up, it's going to be used to the other advantage. We've seen that plenty of times. And if you look at little details like stopping Derrick Henry on fourth and one and having to, you know, make them turn the ball over on downs instead of kicking a field goal when the game was won by 3 points, that is credit to Tennessee and our guy, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He was on the ground a lot.
Cincinnati,
I mean. What did I say?
Tennessee.
Did I say Tennessee?
Yeah. It's okay.
Well, fuck you, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Credit to Cincinnati.
No, I know, I know.
Like I said, it's Tuesday and my brain still hasn't wrapped around all of this.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a great moment for Joe Burrow, for Cincinnati. You know, obviously they're hyped. They're in the AFC Championship game. And the second game, 49ers, Packers, also another really kind of, you know, ugly game, 13-10.
That under,
I never doubt.
Never doubt.
It was so funny because I was arguing with Joe about it before the game started. And I was like, the under, Joe. And he was like, why are you saying that? Just because it's cold?
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
We looked up the weather. It's like 1 degree.
It's like, I know it's the classic, like, it's the under because it's 0 degrees. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. It was so fucking cold. Guys couldn't catch the ball. They were bouncing all over the place. And at the end of the day, special teams. This one fully came down to special teams. Because if you look like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, 20 for 29, 225 yards. Decent, not crazy, didn't throw a touchdown. Jimmy Garoppolo, 11 for 19, 131 yards and an interception.
Woof.
You like, you blindly read me that stat line. I'm telling you that guy lost.
Yes.
But
I'm still not sure that we're not all living in a simulation when you read those stats.
Blocked punt for a touchdown. They're up 10-3. You know, it was an abysmal game, right? Like, the Packers scored, and it was fun. It was fun to watch because, once again, you were getting, like you said, you were getting the classic Lambeau. I enjoyed it because...
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it maybe just because I was so confident in the under that every time they didn't score, I was like, the under.
No, I would have loved watching that game again.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm sure you were, you
She's
know.
She's in Antigua. She's not listening.
On the dance floor.
I was carrying around a napkin to blot her sweat because she was sweating like a maniac for photos. That's what I was doing.
Oh, man. The Packers scored on the first drive, and then there was not another point scored in the first half until the Niners scored a field goal to start the second half at 7-3. Packers score a field goal, and the Niners turn the ball over on downs. And they give the ball back to the Packers. The Packers,
which normally, again, if you said you blindly read that,
yes,
you know what's going to happen.
The Packers get the ball back, but move backwards, right? So they're on the 21, then they're on the 23, then they're on the 23. Then he gets a massive sack, loss of 11 yards. So now it's 4th and 19 on their own 12, and the punt is blocked and return for a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's a tie game, 10-10.
Insane moment. Yeah. I was actually watching live at that point.
Yeah.
I had, I, it had, come to a time in the night where I was able to do that. And I was just like, this 49ers team, you know, we buried them in the middle of the season. Yeah. But they, again, and I drink every time I say capitalized, they capitalized on these mistakes. And they are a hot team. I mean, both physically and metaphorically.
Yeah. But, and you would have thought, like, in that scenario, it's 10-10. You're giving the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with, you know, four-ish minutes left. You feel pretty confident he's going to make something happen. He doesn't. They go three and out. And they give the ball back to San Fran. And they, you know, march down the field, use their timeouts, kick the game-winning field goal.
Aaron Rodgers is 0-4. Against the 49ers in his playoff career, which, I mean, when you look at how long he's been playing, I mean, it's only four games. I get that. But you're right. When he got that ball back with you know, under 5 minutes left, it's the same. I know we'll talk about Tom too, but it's that same feeling that you have when those types of guys get the ball. It's like, what, you know, you're giving him way too much time. I honestly don't think it's overdramatic to say that I was floored. I was shocked that they went three and out. Yeah. Just because, I mean, you know, you've got, first of all, the 49ers, if you ask me in the middle of the season if the 49ers belong on the field with the Green Bay Packers, we would say no.
Yep.
And then knowing that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be MVP, and it's the playoffs, and the 49ers have been so up and down. And when the Packers went three and out, I was like, holy shit, are we about to see a day where the Bengals and the 49ers are going to championship weekend?
Yep.
I know. We are. And now you've got everybody in Green Bay, which is, and this always happens with guys like this, like the speculation of, was that the last time we see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform? You know, he didn't obviously want to talk about it after the game, which I don't blame him. But I don't think anybody envisioned this being the way that Aaron Rodgers' career could potentially end in Green Bay.
Yeah, definitely not. Especially on a game where, you know, you can laugh, but special teams, right? Like, that first half, it went, after that touchdown, it went punt, fumble, punt, 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 interception,
gross,
blocked field goal. So, you know, you get the Mason Crosby blocked field goal. That would have put them up 10-0. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen. The San Fran starts with the ball to start the second half, and they go and they score a field goal. And it's just, all it took was one play. That game came down to one play.
They all did. That's what's
and
so crazy.
It's a blocked fucking punt.
But that's like, when you, the block punt is probably the most ridiculous of all of them, I would say, maybe. Yeah. But the fact,
I mean, also to have a blocked punt and a blocked field goal in one game is pretty wild, because it wasn't like it was a 55-yard field goal. It was a 39-yard field goal.
It should just be an easy chip in.
Yeah.
I keep saying these scores are gross. These games were obviously awesome. They were really fucking fun. But it's the other side, right?
Yeah. Well, when you read pun, 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 pun.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, but it's still so close. It's like, I know. It's like watching a Big Ten football game sometimes. Yep. It's like, hey, listen, I'm not watching Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes light it up, but guess what? It's still really entertaining. Jimmy Garoppolo, again, his stat line is abysmal.
Yeah.
But he said it. He was like, you know, we're a dangerous team. You let us get hot, we're dangerous, and that's exactly what it is. And then on the flip side, it's just like, I have no idea what's going to happen in Green Bay now. No clue. I'd be pretty scared Aaron
There's
wants
gonna
to.
There's going to be tons of speculation. I will say right now, I think he's gone.
For sure.
Yeah.
What's the percentage?
I'm 80% confident.
Okay, I was going to say like 70.
Yeah.
Which I thought was high too. But it's just this gut feeling that I have.
As do I. I think he's done. I think the longer he goes on this team without producing another Super Bowl, like, he is going to chase that somewhere else.
You think, you know? Pittsburgh?
I didn't. But
I just listen to Jersey Jerry talk a lot. That's my thing. I just feel like Jersey Jerry is the little angel on my shoulder. Yeah, like, you know, you're going to see Aaron in that black and yellow.
Yeah. I don't know where he ends up, but I think he would go somewhere with a lot of young guys and look at just the history of, and, you know, a lot of people were talking about it, right? You know, he has been an MVP caliber quarterback for years now, many, many years. And one Super Bowl?
And everyone tried to blame Mike McCarthy. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's a clown.
Yeah.
We know that.
Matt LaFleur is a better coach. He's
a better coach.
Is better. And look, at the end of the day, like, special teams just dropped the ball.
Right.
Literally.
Literally. But it's clearly not just a Mike McCarthy problem.
No.
You know? And that's where I do lean more, that I think he's going to leave too. Because when they finally got rid of Mike McCarthy and shipped his ass down to Dallas, which whatever, it's like, okay, maybe this is where we're really going to see, especially because
Aaron Rodgers has had some of that like Tom Brady magic where he has made things work with receivers that you would not look and be like, these are superstars. Obviously, Davante Adams is an exception to that, but he hasn't, you know, been there the whole time.
No.
Obviously.
And my football watching career, but in Aaron Rodgers' career, it's like you said, he is one of those guys. If he has the ball at the end of the game, you very, very, very rarely think that they're not going to win the game. And that is a fact. Like, unless it's a blowout game already and, you know, whatever. But I just feel like with all the drama that happened in the offseason, the drama throughout the season too, I mean, and I know that's not the Green Bay Packers' fault, but all the stuff with the vaccinations and all the scrutiny, it's just like, you know, is he engaged still? Do we know?
Don't know.
Like, is Shailene involved in any of this?
Don't know. There were rumors they broke up.
So it's just like everything's up in the air for Aaron Rodgers right now. I did see something really funny, and I know we'll talk about the Mahomes family, but it was just like, boy, do we wish Patrick Mahomes would disavow his family the way that Aaron Rodgers did.
Yep.
Which is so mean.
I know.
It's mean, but it's Aaron Rodgers is such an enigma because we don't know what the fuck's going on in his life. Yeah. We don't know who's helping him make these decisions other than, like, his team and people that he worked with. Like, it's not like, you know, when Russell Wilson, when they were talking about him leaving Seattle, it's like, well, where does Sierra want to go?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if he's even engaged still.
It is so up in the air, and I have no prediction for really where he ends up. If maybe he just stops playing altogether, but I just don't see him back in Green Bay.
They would have to do something like the groveling that they would have to do, I think, to keep him. I think they had to do that already.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a pretty well-known thing, that he was incredibly unhappy with their draft choices the last few years.
Yep.
Packers fans will tell you that. So I don't know, but I do think that the way, because like in my mind, there was no way they were losing the 49ers. We said that on the podcast last week. Like, this is a no-brainer.
Yep.
Then at least he had another week to see what happens in the championship weekend, to see if he makes it to the Super Bowl. This is just, and I said it once, say it a million times, this is just not how anybody, whether you're a Green Bay fan, Aaron Rodgers or not, envisioned this being the way his career ended.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers played like shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they were terrible. So it wasn't, it wasn't the better team won yesterday, or whatever day it was.
Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, they won that game, and you cannot, you would think, like, in a low scoring, cold game in Lambeau, and that clip was going viral when they lost, you know, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, well, if it was, you know, cold Lambeau, the whole thing. It's like, well, you got that. And
wind chill was
lost.
Zero. I just looked it up.
Yeah. So
it's not good.
The 49ers move on. And then Sunday, once again, the games just got better and better. It's just as the time went on, the games got better and better. Let's talk about the Rams-Bucks game. But first, guys.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Okay, Rams Bucks.
Let me say something first. Yeah. Okay? Let me say something first.
Get it out.
Watching a Buccaneers game or a Patriots game in years of past with someone who absolutely hates Tom Brady and loves to argue, one of my girlfriend's boyfriend, he's a Seattle Seahawks fan, and he loves to argue.
Yeah.
I had never actually watched a game in his presence. Usually we're just arguing over text messaging because he just refuses to admit that Brady's the best of all time because he's a buffoon.
Yeah.
I wanted to gouge my eyes out. It was awful, especially early in the game. I mean, it was, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, what I had to put up with.
Yeah.
And not just me. I mean, anybody that has to deal with it, but somebody who, as I also love to argue, look where I work. I just was like, they were getting their asses kicked. And I was like, this is just not fun. I'm having zero fun.
Yeah, look, this game.
Zero fun.
Yeah, this game was stressful because once again, you had that early lead for the Rams. It's 20-3 at halftime. The Bucks look awful. They can't put together anything. Like I said, when it came down to kickers, right? You know, they had a field goal, scored a field goal, and then missed a field goal. I think it was,
they
Ryan
sure
Tuck, a 48-yard field goal.
Sad. Didn't like that.
Yeah, and so it's 20-3. Then it's 27-3. And after it's 27-3, the Rams did everything in their power to give this game back to Tom Brady.
Everything.
Like, they handed this game. Let me read. So after the Rams touchdown in the third, and it's 27-3.
By the way, that score sounds almost a little bit too familiar, doesn't it?
Yes, I know. Exactly. I was in shock. So after that happens, their possessions for the rest of the game after that touchdown in the third, where the Bucks got themselves back in it. But they went fumble, punt, fumble, miss field goal, punt, fumble.
It's a lot of fumbles, Fran.
A lot of fumbles.
I
can you believe that? I watched. I was like, they are serving this game back to Tom Brady on a silver fucking platter. And I could not believe it.
I thought
it.
The same thing too, Fran.
And it 27-27. I'm in so much pain. They did it. I was like, they just, Tom Brady is somehow going to pull this off again.
Again. And, you know, we talked about last week the Rams defensive, you know, the front seven is just incredible. And they really made, you know, you will never hear me put a negative spin on anything. I will say they made Tom look human. And you're right. The Bucks offense could not do shit. And we think about all the players that are
Aaron
out.
Aaron Donald, good football player.
Von Miller, good football player. Handed Tom Brady his first taunting penalty, which I loved, by the way. I'm like, oh my God, this is so sexy. Between that and the bloody lip, I was like, boy.
Oh my God.
Bad boy Tom.
The
freaking
bloody lip. Get over it.
Oh.
When he got called for that taunting penalty, I literally was like, fuck yeah. Like, when does Tom ever get an unsportsmanlike for, like, talking back to the refs? Although at that point, I was laughing because I was like, Sean Hockley might be getting a little power hungry here. He's, like, throwing out the taunting and the 15-yard penalties left and right here. I'm just like, all right, I get it. Like, Tom Brady said something to you didn't like.
And you know the only thing that you can possibly do is throw a little yellow flag in his face there. Congratulations.
Yep.
And listen, obviously Tom Brady being a part of anything with an exhilarating comeback like that, you're like, wow, he orchestrated that. Like, no, he didn't. And I mean, obviously not every quarterback can do what he did. There's no doubt about that. It goes back to, again, take a shot, capitalizing on mistakes.
Yeah.
But you said it perfectly. The Rams did everything they could to lose the game to the greatest of all time that you simply don't want in that position. You do not want him to be able to even lead a comeback like that. And when they fumbled, when the Rams fumbled the ball on like the 1 yard line.
When Cam Akers fumbled, he fumbled with 2.5 minutes
there
left.
There was just no.
On the Rams. Recovered on the Rams 30-yard line. You were like, oh no.
just absolutely.
Oh no. 27-20 with 2.5 minutes left and you're on the 30-yard line. It was like, oh, they're going to figure this out. They're going to put this together.
Yeah, no problem.
And that was a great fourth down play. That fourth and one, that Fournette touchdown was a great play. And I had about zero faith in Matthew Stafford getting the ball back at that point with, he got the ball back with 42 seconds left. For them to be able to score was incredible. It was incredible. And it was also shocking that multiple times during this game, the defense just seemed to forget to cover Cooper Kupp.
He just didn't exist.
I remember people have been sending the little like GIF of the play with the players.
It looks like an old school video game.
Exactly. Of And I've just been, you know, you see it sent to Stephen Che a million times, but like to see Cooper Kupp's guy just
blitz
and not follow him. And you're just like, there he goes.
Cooper Kupp. Yes, I know he made a mistake early in the game, a very rare Cooper Kupp mistake.
He made up for it, though. And yes, that was a mistake because it was a mass mistake and that was another turnover that turned into points, converted to points.
Yes.
The Bucks scored after that. And so, yeah, he is definitely feeling that. But when you get the ball in that situation and you start off with the sack, but then you go 20 yards to Cooper Kupp and then 44 yards to Cooper Kupp, that's it. Game over.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're watching, you know, they showed, and I love, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Like when you see the quarterbacks on the sidelines, they just are so helpless because you love that like emotion of like, not that you love to see them helpless, but it's like, you know that they're sitting there no matter, like they showed Matthew Stafford a lot when the Bucks offense was on the field and he just looked like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do about this? Because Tom has the ball. And then that last drive, like you said, it was, you know, he gets sacked. But then back-to-back massive plays when this game should have been going into overtime. Now, the Bucks shouldn't have even been in it. We know that, like, by the way that their offense played, especially early on.
Yeah.
But they were. They took, you know, advantage of the mistakes. Tom Brady did everything he needed to do at the end. But that game should have gone into overtime. And I don't know how you can have back-to-back blown coverages like that on arguably the best wide receiver in the league this year.
Yep.
He was in the conversation for the MVP.
I know. And the Matt Gay missed 47-yard field goal that would have put them up 30-13. That was short. Was unbelievable to watch. From someone that was watching, that was like, oh, it's good. Because from that back angle, it looked like it was good.
It was just short.
And then they cut it. It was like short. It's like, oh my God, we're leaving field. Like they're fumbling consecutive fumbles, and then we're leaving field goals short.
Short. Where I was watching this game, I was the only person in the entire place that was rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
I'm sure I was very loud about it, but it was like you said about all these games, just how it came down to the end, and I could not have scripted that it wouldn't be Tom Brady. And like Von Miller after the game, he even said, he was like, every single time I've been in a game with Tom, it's something crazy like this happens.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
always close. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's just.
I tweeted like, it just always happens.
Always. And you know it is. And like even, like I, you know, and I had, you know, some responsible bets on the Barstool Sportsbook app for this game too. Yep. But then, you know, we were having some friendly wagers that did not involve money over this game as well. And at one point, one of my friends was like, I'll take the Rams minus 10. I was like, fucking sure, fine. It was, you know, it's 27-3. I was like, sure. Because even if they were going to lose that game, I just there was no way to me that Tom Brady was getting blown out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. But now you've got all the assholes out there that are like, oh, Tom's going to retire. Folks, if he retires, I mean, obviously nothing is crazy at this point with him. That's not the game he's retiring on, right?
I'd be shocked. This is the thing, though. I'd be shocked if this is when he retires, but I will say I do think he's gonna have to retire with a loss. Like I can't imagine Tom Brady winning like another Super Bowl and then being like, I'm done. Like I think in his mind, if he is still winning, he's gonna keep playing.
But I also can't see the opposite either.
Yeah.
I can't see Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, being like, all right, like I gotta go on a loss.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's not like he, you know, like when Peyton was at the end of his career, it was like, we were just like, all right, dude, like you've gotta hang this up. Like we're not, like, I mean, Tom, I almost said struggled, but I'm not going to. Tom was human for sure, and we've seen those moments, but he was still playing at an incredibly high caliber, you know, he was playing unbelievable for a lot of the season. I just can't. I mean, I know you can't just like hope until you're 65 years old that you're winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just can't see this being the game that he's like, all right, time to hang it up. He's too much of a competitor, right? Is it wishful thinking?
No, I would be very surprised if that was the end of it. But I mean, did you know he's 44 years old? They did not let you forget that.
Oh, no.
Chris and Al, I mean, come on, guys. How, like, 44, and they're all 44. They said it 9 million times. Like, we get it.
We know.
He's 44.
Like, has anybody in the world forgotten that?
Like,
guess what?
Know.
He'll be 45 next season.
We know
anybody
he's
know?
Doing things he shouldn't be doing. Like, we get it.
That's the kind of the whole point of it.
Yeah.
You didn't think the lip was sexy?
I'll be honest, Casey, and I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, no.
But when he came off the field, like, slow-mo with the lip, and he had his helmet off, it's the first time I was like, he looks kind of old. He looks kind of old. I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
I can't even look at her.
Looked a little old.
I had to look at Gia just so I didn't explode. Throw my coffee in her face. It's cold. Don't worry.
Don't look at me.
That's all I'm saying. He looked a little old.
Well, he is 44.
Yeah, he's 44. He's
oh, I thought that was like top tier Tom. I thought that was top tier Tom Brady sexy.
Men, I could see that.
Men age.
I could see that.
Men age.
Yeah.
If they age right, they age like a fine wine.
That is true. Well,
but
no,
he
has aged very well, but I...
But the bloody lip thing, because, you know...
And I guess maybe it was also, like, the way the game was going. I was like, he looks... His age is showing.
No, Fran. Don't
like
kick me when I'm down.
Like I see some wrinkles.
I'm sad we're not getting the battle of the sexy quarterbacks. Me and Fran were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it is still a battle of sexy quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's just not...
I think Matt Stafford is...
No, but
well,
they're not playing each other, but
yeah,
it could be.
But it could end up being
Jimmy G versus Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah, no, no, Matt Stafford, no. Well, he's not,
Stafford's fine.
He's fine. But no, I saw that. Like, are we potentially going to have
when
a
you
Joe
get Jimmy
Burrow,
G
Jimmy
out there,
G?
Like, I mean,
well,
Jimmy G is it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's offensively stupid.
It is stupid.
But, oh my God, if it would have been... I can't even wrap my head around what I would have done if it was the Bucks Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what I would have done. Obviously, I would have taken the Bucks, but like, just my heart would not have been able.
Bucks Bengals Super Bowl would have just been so.
Can you
random.
Imagine? Can you imagine though?
Would have been so random.
I was thinking all the different scenarios when the Bengals won of like what that could. And of course, like in my head, it's like, well, the Bucks are going to the Super Bowl, so what do I need to care about? Especially after the Packers lost.
I know. And then I know you're sad, but well, let's talk about the Sunday night game because this game was
the best game I've ever watched in my entire life.
Was an absolutely unbelievable game.
Wouldn't you think it's the best game you've ever watched in your entire life?
Yeah.
By far, of anything.
It was insane, incredible. The Chiefs win 42-36 in overtime. Josh Allen had the game of his career. And when you just and honestly, like, my heart broke because I was really rooting for Buffalo. I really wanted this one for them. I felt like they deserved it. They played so well. For Gabriel Davis to have, like, not only the game of his career, but like break like playoff records.
I mean, he just
8 catches, 201 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Just from the clouds, too.
I know. And just for him, like, I just felt so bad being like, God, he has that game, but it's an L. It's a loss. Like, you can't celebrate that performance.
No.
Because you end up losing this game. And yes, I know Patrick Mahomes is just reminding us all that he is still Patrick Mahomes. But for this game, you know, this game went back and forth the entire time.
It was so cool.
It was so good. It was such a great game. And for, you know, the end, there was like 3 lead changes and a tie with 2.5 minutes left.
The last, like, I would say, I mean, obviously we know what happened in overtime.
Yeah.
But if you look at what Patrick Mahomes' stats were after the 2-minute warning, he almost had 200 yards after the 2-minute warning.
I know.
And overtime was 13 seconds.
It's just, oh, God. Like, for the Bills, you know, they get the ball. Clock's running down. They put together a long drive.
Yes.
Like, they're holding the ball to the point where I'm like, okay, this is smart. Like,
right.
Take up as much clock as you possibly can and don't give the ball back to them. And then they go up 29-26. And it's they take it down to under the 2-minute warning. Like I said, it was a 4th and 13.
Insane.
On that Gabriel Davis touchdown, 27 yards. They go for 2. They get it. which was also another ridiculous play from Josh Allen. Josh Allen, the amount of times like he was evading defenders and making these plays that was unbelievable, using his legs, running for first downs on fourth downs. And at that point, right, so they're up by four. You give the ball back to Kansas City. There's a minute 54 left. Patrick Mahomes goes down the field. 64-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. It's just...
And how also crazy is it that both quarterbacks had over 60-yard passes?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
That stat alone is like, well, tells you the game that you need to know. Like, you said it's Tyreek Hill, but then Josh Allen had one, too. Yeah.
And you know, everybody raves about it, how good Tyreek Hill is yards after the catch. And that showed it there. 36-33. The Bills get the ball back with a minute. Like, they scored that touchdown. The Chiefs score took up like 50 seconds. So they get the ball. The Bills get the ball back. And another Gabriel Davis touchdown. Another one. Like, after you have Josh Allen making these plays that were just unbelievable. So now it's third, you know, they are able to score again.
Yeah, it was so dramatic.
36-33 is what I just said, but yeah. They make it 36-33.
And then to have the opportunity.
13 seconds. It's so crazy to look back and think, like, they scored that Gabriel Davis, the last touchdown, to go up 36-33 on a first down. So it's like, I know you obviously want to score. There's barely any time left on the clock. But I think, like, you could have taken – they really could have used one or two incompletions in the end zone. And then the Gabriel Davis touchdown. Because somehow 13 seconds was too much time.
I know. And it's like – and I, you know, I obviously sarcastically said that overtime was 13 seconds because – 13 seconds is all we're talking about, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes in 13 seconds will never be able to separate themselves. Like, that is...
You saw all the posts about, they were like, Dak's QB run took 14 seconds.
Yes, I saw it. And I laughed my ass off. 13 seconds he needed to get down the field. That's it. That is I can't even, like, wrap my head around it.
It was unbelievable. And I know everyone's been arguing about the overtime rules and all these things, and we can talk about it, but the fact that and understandable, like, these defenses are gassed. Totally gassed. They were playing a crazy game, but there was a lot of talk about why there was a squib kick there.
Mm-hmm. Why they decided to kick it
why
deep.
Why they kicked it deep and let them, you know, ran no time off the clock. At that point, you squib kick it. I think you're just really afraid of
a touchdown.
Either like or just field position, right? Like, you're just afraid either of a return or something happens where they, you know, they have the ball on the 40 and they have to go 20 yards. So clearly they wanted to give them the farthest distance. However,
backfire.
Yeah. However, with the time, it just didn't work. Oh, they needed two passes to Hill and Kelsey, and then they kicked the field goal. 49 yards to tie.
Like, just the theater of it was just, I mean, truly, I know everyone's saying it. It's not like it's a hot take from us. It's not like you haven't heard this before. It's the best game I've ever seen, no doubt. And then it's completely marred by the overtime rules. And everyone is talking about it. I get that. So it's nothing new here. They have got to change that. For Josh Allen to have the game that he did and not even have an opportunity to touch the ball in overtime is a travesty. It truly is.
I agree with you. And it's tough for me because I understand the viewpoint of, like, well, your defense has to be able to make a stop. Yes, but both teams contributed to, like, both sides of the ball contributed to this game going to overtime.
Correct.
So both sides of the ball should get a chance to compete in overtime. I don't know what that rule looks like, but regardless of this situation, And you know, whether you think it's right or wrong or shouldn't happen, the fact that in playoff games it's become so, that coin toss is winning playoff games. Mm-hmm. Because I think the stats like 10-1. The teams that win the coin toss and win the game.
That shouldn't be what it is. You know,
playoff games.
We have people always.
In the current rules.
It is.
And the Chiefs tried to change this rule when they got screwed
by
it.
Yeah, by the Patriots a few years ago.
They got screwed by it and they wanted to change this rule. And it benefited them here. But for Josh Allen to not get to touch the ball mm-hmm. in overtime, and for people to be like, well, the Bills' defense, if they could have just, you know, made a stop. No, the defenses weren't making a stop. That's what was happening. So what they really needed to do was put those two guys out there and let's have like a shootout. Let's like, whether it's closer to college style or not, I think that's not sustainable in the NFL. But that some way for both quarterbacks to touch the ball.
I know it's a completely different sport and the timing is different and whatever else. I don't understand, and maybe somebody out there that's smarter than me can explain this to me. Why don't we just do a timed overtime like they do in the NBA? It's much shorter than a regular quarter, and I know lead changes in basketball are obviously, you know, much, but why don't you say, okay, let's put, you know, half a quarter on the clock. Mm-hmm. You know, and if somebody runs that whole 7.5 minutes down, then okay. You know what I mean? It's where can we do something like that? Because you're right. Both defenses and both offenses should have a chance to get on there. And all the bitching and moaning that happens with soccer and with hockey, with anything else that comes down to a shootout, now with the college rules where it's like you have to go for the 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this isn't a fair way to finish in this game. It comes down to like, you know, who can make, it's just like these plays that aren't actually needing to be made in the regular game. Well, la-di-da, in the NFL, it's a fucking coin toss.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen says heads. And the Bills win the game?
Unfortunately, he said tails.
I know, but I'm saying like if he says heads, they win the game, right?
Oh, yes. If
that's what it comes down to?
If Josh Allen got that ball, if the Bills started with the ball, I think they would have won. It came down to which guy got the ball to start overtime. That's it.
And if you don't think that Josh Allen...
Because both of these defenses were gassed. It wasn't just like the Bills. Like the Chiefs,
were in shock. The Bills were in shock,
I mean,
for sure.
The Bills scored 2 touchdowns with 2 minutes left. So,
you know that under for the 2 minutes left. The rest of time, Josh Allen is never going to call tails ever again. Ever.
God. I mean, and this is the thing, too. Like, you just feel like for him, right? He does everything he can. And for him to be like, we lost, but I didn't even get a chance to go out there.
It's so stupid. It doesn't do that game justice. It doesn't do the NFL justice. It really doesn't. And, you know, watching those two guys, and we've been talking about the young crop of quarterbacks and seeing what they were able to do. And yes, I mean, we also saw a weekend where both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady get bounced from the playoff earlier than I think most people expected, especially Aaron Rodgers. And you see what the future is going to look like with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and the way that after the game, Patrick like ran around everyone just to go hug Josh Allen. It's like a really cool moment. Like, God, these guys are so good. Though I think we can all say like those were the two best teams at the end of the season. Like that should have been the Super Bowl. And I know it can't be
because
it's divisional games. But those were the two teams that was by far the best game of the season. Best game I've ever seen.
These two teams playing each other is going to continue to be absolutely must-watch
forever.
Just competition
for the next 2 decades, hopefully.
Yeah, and God willing, and they're going to keep playing each other, and they're going to keep having games like this. And if we continue to have it come down to just like who wins the coin toss,
who says the right word,
it's just like. You fight the whole game, and it's a tie game, and it's statistically from how often that first team wins, it really shows that you're just flipping a coin to see who wins the game.
Literally.
Yeah.
Not millennial, literally.
Yeah.
The definition.
Yeah.
I also need to call out Andy Reid. Okay, listen. Great quote There is no shot he actually said that to Patrick Mahomes, the Grim Reaper thing.
What did he say? It was like,
he said, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Now,
great quote. No shot he fucking said that in the moment.
Just not to like really think about that.
Be the Grim Reaper and go get it.
Be the Grim Reaper, you would be like, you're on the other side. Like, right. That would be something you say to Josh Allen when you, like, that's like what you, when you like have the lead. I don't know. Anyway.
I didn't believe it for a hot second. I was like, oh yeah, that's what you came up with when you're in the middle of the 13 seconds. He comes down and ties it up. I just don't
Who
believe
knows?
It. Now,
maybe.
Now, let me tell you, if it's a coach that I like, not that I don't like Andy Reid. Yeah. I have nothing against Andy Reid. But if it was like my coach, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah. He came up with that real quick. It's like, well, no, Bruce Arians would never because he's not my coach. But you know what I mean? Like Tom Brady, if they said Tom Brady said that or like Aaron Rodgers said that, I would believe that.
13 fucking seconds.
13!
Unbelievable. And of course, you know, you had Brittany and Jackson and the screaming. And, you know, I don't know if I've made this comparison. And I know I've brought up these characters on this show before.
Oh, no.
But watching the video and, like, watching them do stuff together, Brittany and Jackson, I realized that, one, they're just, like, real-life supervillains.
Yes.
One, they're just real-life supervillains. Two, I think I've asked you this before about Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yes, yes.
These two are Kronk and Yzma. They look like them. They act like them. Brittany is by far the one in charge.
For sure.
And Jackson is just her henchman.
Yes. Yes.
Kronk and Yzma, these two. Actual supervillains.
And they're just, they don't give a fuck either.
No.
They don't care. When she was spraying that champagne, like, luckily they were at Arrowhead, because had they been in Buffalo, I bet she'd gotten her ass kicked. But just.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I'm going to throw out that Yzma and Kronk statement. Other than that, I have nothing really else to say because they did win. And,
but
you
still,
know,
it's just
as obnoxious as it is, their team won.
It's so obnoxious. Their team won. And Patrick just is seemingly not that way at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, this is the same guy. She's spraying champagne all over everybody, like screaming and yelling at the top of her lungs, and they're doing TikToks. And he's the same guy that's like running around to try to find the opposing quarterback to hug him after a game like that.
Yeah.
Riddle me that. How are those two things the same thing?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
No,
but that's just the way it
is. Great game. They need to change overtime rules. And we also do have to mention these two guys are unbelievable quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk about just from this year, the standpoint of, you know, they're definitely in the top five, no doubt. I mean, maybe even top two or three at this point.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield getting so salty that people were tweeting at him that he's not these two guys, or he's now having to shut down social media, is very funny.
Soft.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like
how many people were really saying that to him?
That's okay. So every time every time I say something about like, oh, so and so saying this on Twitter, like people here will be like, how many people? Like one or two? I don't know. But he did say that, like, you know, social media is toxic and he always has to keep his circle tight and he needs to get back to that.
Well,
it's like,
he's not wrong about that.
No,
it
he's
totally
not.
Is,
but like, don't talk. You don't have to talk about it.
But you can't let that. You can't let that get to you when you're watching a playoff game and you're not in the playoff game. Obviously, the guys playing in the playoff game have had a better season than you have.
Like,
so
obviously,
just, like,
when the tweet that people were ripping apart was, congrats to all the teams moving on. Some extremely competitive football was played this weekend, was entertaining to watch, would absolutely much be rather playing, but was fun to watch. Well, yeah, no shit you'd rather be playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's right. It was super entertaining to watch, but it's like you're opening yourself up at that point for everyone who's doubting you and says that you're not the number one overall pick that you were supposed to be. But then to make this a whole big deal of like, oh, well, now I'm going to have to shut down social media. It's like, yeah, no, social media is extremely toxic, but you're now telling the toxic people that it's getting to you.
Yeah.
And you're not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, dude.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little dramatic, but.
And he just had his surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker, you know what, Baker? Why don't you log off for a little bit?
Exactly. That
come back next season and prove everybody wrong.
Exactly. Okay, that wraps it up for our divisional round recap. That just,
you know what I just realized?
Got stuck.
I just realized this.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
The Browns passed up on Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen that year. They were all three in the same year, right? I'm pretty sure they were all the same draft class.
with Baker?
I'm pretty sure. No?
No. I don't think so. Were they? Hold on.
I think they were. No?
Josh, it was, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. You are right. Yes.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Five quarterbacks were selected in the first round. Baker, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, yep. not Patrick.
Okay.
He was the year before, no? Because the Mitch Trubisky year is the year before.
Yes. Okay.
Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. That's the Josh Allen draft class.
Okay. So it wasn't, I wasn't.
And Baker was, yes, the number one, you know, the number one pick. So, yes.
But they could have had Patrick Mahomes the year before too, right? I think they did.
The 2000.
Didn't they get the Myles Garrett instead? I know there's something where they're like, maybe they're like the, I think that the Browns could have had both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes multiple different, like, and obviously multiple years. I'm just talking completely crazy.
Let's
at this
see.
Point.
So they picked Baker, obviously, in 2018.
In 2017 was Miles Garrett.
2017 was Miles Garrett. Yes.
That was Patrick Mahomes' year.
Yes.
Damn. Well, back-to-back number one overall picks. Could have had either one of them.
Yeah.
Just saying. We got there eventually.
Yes, yes. But that is correct. You were right. So.
Okay, well.
Yeah, that sorry, is Cleveland. Really, really pretty wild.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that was a fun little roundabout way to end the podcast.
Now I'm just looking at it again. That is crazy. Yep. Okay, guys. We are wrapping it up.
Now we're going to just go down this wormhole off the air.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will be back on Thursday.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save